Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Zayin. And yesterday we got up to, we were talking about the sugya, about Rabbi Yehuda holding it. You need to make the schach on your sukkah out of the same minim that you would be using for your lulav. So we had a little bit of a problem. So first of all, we had the extension that he must hold. As Robert proved, that the actual body, the wood of the decal itself, is considered to be part of the minhag of lulav. That we proved yesterday. I don't recall whether we continued on to discuss the question of the eres, so just in case not, let's do that again. Asks the Gemara, Omer Rav Yehuda arba'at minim, mi omar Rav Yehuda arba'at minim im, midi achrina lo, is it really true? This is one third of the way down. Is it really true that Rav Yehuda is makbid on using only the arba minim for your lulav on your sukkah? Didn't it say beferish v'atanya sichacha ben isorim shel eres? Now note that it says over here that if you utilized eres, I mean eres bepashtas is referring to like cedar, right? And it says that according to Rav Yehuda, we have the whole question over there. Of, you know, the Xeras Tikra and so on. So if they have Arba Tvachim, so then Divrei HaKol Psula. If Ein Behem Arba Tvachim, Rabbi Meir says it's possible, but Rabbi Yehuda is Makshir. Okay, so that's all very nice that Rabbi Yehuda is Makshir. Remember, according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda is Makshir, even if it is Arba Tvachim. But the bottom line is that here it specifies Erez. And Erez, I never saw anybody waving a cedar tree for his lulav. So how does Rabbi Yehuda say that you can use the wood of an eres? Umayda, Rabbi Meir, Shinyech, Benesu, Unesu, Kamlo, Nesu. This was the remainder of the Braita. That if you have space between each one of these boards, and you put in tzal, which is kosher for the tzach of a sukkah between them, so then it's kosher. But anyway, what's important to us over here, of course, is the fact that we're calling eres kosher for Sichu Chalibet Rabbi Yehuda. How do you explain that? Answers the Gemara, Erez is a very broad term in Lashon HaKodesh. And one of the 10 types of Erez is a Hadas. Kidu Rabba Baravuna, the Omer Rabba Baravuna, Amri Beirav, Asara Mini Arazim. If you take a look in all of the psukim that list the minim that are secondary to the Erez, you will find 10. Here, I'll give you an example. In this pasuk, you got 7. Shenemar atein b'midbar eretz shita v'hadas. Aha. So you see that hadas comes under a type of eretz. And here it includes also other meaning. It continues on to say v'et shemen, berosh, tidhar, v'tashur. So all of these are considered to be minim of eretz. And therefore, we can bring a raya from the Braita that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a real eres, what we call eres, cedar, or cypress, that's considered to be a kosher for your sukkah. Rabbi Meir says, getting back to the question of whether you're allowed to utilize something else for your lulav to hold it with, or to put the lulav b'ma'age, the lulav with. So we had, this is very similar to what it says in the Mishnah, we had in the Mishnah, Tanya, Omer Rabbi Meir Ma'aseh B'Yikirei Yerushalayim, the important people in Yerushalayim, these were people that were influential and were wealthy, they used to use these little gold decorative holders, and apparently that means that they were ma'aged their lulav with gold. So how in the world would that work out if you hold that you're not allowed to bring any other min with it? Amru lo, so they said to Rabbi Meir, Misham Raya, Mimino Yogdino to Melamata. That was just for decoration. But the eged of the lulav, in terms of the kashrus of the lulav, that they did underneath the same way we do. They had like little kashalach or something that was a species of the lulav, and that was underneath, and then on top of that, just to make everything look beautiful, they put gold. But that gold was not the eged. And therefore, there would be no problem of Bal Tosiv. However, there might be another problem. The other problem is this considered to be Likicha Tama? Does lekichat haman mean that you have to actually be directly holding it with the skin of your hands? Or is there an issue of a chatzitza, that it's bechlal not called lekicha? So this is the next issue that we have to worry about, because there's two completely separate things. One is the eged, which according to Rabbi Yehuda holds that the eged is be'akev the lulav, it's going to be a baltosif problem to introduce a new min. But the other issue is the actual mitzvah of ulekachtem. What satisfies the requirements of ulekachtem? So Rabbi said to the people who were in charge, a megadle yoshan, as Rashi brings numerous examples of the word megadle, that megadle is simply a way in which the Gemara refers to an expert doing of something. So putting something together properly. And here too, it means the people who were taking care of making the Hoshana, that is to say, that they would bundle a little of minim together for the Resh Galuta. So he told them, Pigadlito Hoshana Resh Galuta, Shire Be Beit Yad, Geech Lotavi Chatzitza. Make sure that the whatever it is that you put around it to hold it together, make sure that you leave the actual lulav sticking out at the bottom so that he can hold it, because otherwise if you put anything else on it, so then it would be a chatzitza, because Bepashtas Rabbah holds over here that you do not need eged. So if you don't need eged, then whatever, even though we normally do the eged, because even Alibi the Rabbana, we do the eged because of Zekeli Vianveyu, and there's no problem of the issue of the baltosif, but what about the lula kachtem? So don't you have to be holding it directly? So if you hold it through something else, so then it would be considered to be a chatzitza, and then you wouldn't be actually holding it. So therefore, it wouldn't matter what it is that you're using, says Tosfos. Even if you're using, you know, the sieve of the decal, it would still be a problem. Rava says you never have to worry about a chatzitza if it's there for the purpose of beautifying the mitzvah, because then it's bottled to the mitzvah. So we don't consider that to be a chatzitza. Another problem that Rava points out is lo linkit ina shoshana besudra to be in lekicha tama v'leka. There's also a mitzvah of ulekachtem. So let's say that you wrap your hands around with your handkerchief because you don't want to get scratched with the lulav or it's wet. Don't use a handkerchief to hold your lulav, because then you're not doing a direct lekicha of the lulav with your actual hand. And because of that, it's a question whether this is the same issue. Tosfos learns that they're two separate issues. The chatzitza, the previous issue of chatzitza, is one issue. And then lekicha tam is another issue, because it's not considered to be chatzitza if I don't need my hand. I first have to define that it's lekicha tam. The Rambam seems to put the two issues together, but in any event, it would be basically, would boil down to the same problem. If you're not doing the direct lekicha with your hand, so then you wouldn't be being mekayim the mitzvah. It says lekachtem, and we said lekachtem means that you're fully in touch with it. Now Rava, again, he argues, and Rava Amar, no, it's not true. Lekicha, yedei davar acher, shma lekicha. Even if you're holding something by holding something else, that is considered to be a lekicha. So again, it's very mashma. This is why Tosfos says it's two different inyanim. It's very mashma over here that we're not worried over here about chatzitza. We're bringing a whole different issue of lekicha, whether it has the shem lekicha, not whether it's considered to be a chatzitza, and to get into the questions of min b'mina, that it should depend on what it is that you had underneath the lulav, that the Gemara doesn't bring up bichlal. So it's mashma, as Tosfos points out, that we're dealing with another issue entirely. It's not called a chatzitza, where the need for the handkerchief is for your hand and not between the lulav and your hand. On my Rava, let me prove to you that if you move something through holding it through something else, it's considered to be lekicha. And that's your problem, right? Lekicha. So I'm going to show you another place where the Torah insists on lekicha, and nonetheless, the way that we go about doing the lekicha is through holding something else which holds the thing that you're supposed to do lekicha. To minamina. Like, here's where I'm going to prove to you the lekicha yedei davar acher shma lekicha. If you'll just have patience and read with me this Mishnah in Pora, says Rava. It says over there that if you've got an azov, which is very short, okay? Now, what they used to do is they had these tubes, and in the tube, they would bring around the afer mixed with the water. They also used the tubes to bring just the afer, and then you could mix it with the water. Here it's talking about that in order to bring the Pora Aduma liquid that was already mixed to people, so they would put it into basically vials, and then they would insert the, like test tubes, and then they would insert the azov into the vial to get it wet. Now, what about if the azov is too short and it couldn't get to the bottom of the test tube? So it says over there, in a case, we've got a short azov, all you need to do is tie a string around it and lower it into the test tube. So you could be besapko b'chut, or for that matter, you can use a kush. A kush is the spindle, you know, we had before that the Shabbos that the women use. It's a long stick. So just tie that to the azov and then stick it into the test tube. And then tovel umale, then bring it out. Then obviously you're not going to be able to aim the azov if you're still holding it with something else. So take off whatever it is. Now hold the azov itself and be mazeh properly. So now, how are you allowed to do that, says Rava? Doesn't it say beferish in the Torah, vilakach vitaval? It says beferish that you have to be lokeach. It says vilakach ezov. You take that ezov. You take that ezov in your hand. And then vitaval b'mayim. And over here, you're not doing that. You're being taval b'mayim with the lakicha through a string that you're holding it on. So how can you be yotze? So you see from there, El Alav, Shema Amina, you see I'm right. That Lekicha Yedei Davar Acher, Shema Lekicha. Well, I don't know. I mean, how do you know that that's true? Dilma Shani Hasa, Kivan Dechabre, Kegufe Dami. I mean, maybe there's a difference between holding the lulav with a handkerchief, where it's not attached, and this case, where it's attached. You actually tied it to the Azov. I mean, bring me a raya that you're allowed to use a handkerchief to hold something where it's not attached at all. So maybe over there it is considered to be something else. And lekicha yedei davar acher is not considered to be a direct lekicha. Okay, says Rava, look, you're pushing me. I'll bring you another Mishnah also from Pora, okay? Here it says, nafal mishvoferet l'shoket. Now in this case, you brought the ashes of the Pora Aduma, also in a test tube. And what you're supposed to be doing, since the Torah says, mayim chayim el keli, so we learn from there that you have to put the mayim directly into the kli before you put the efer. So even though it says that lechora, there's a contradiction over here, because the Torah also specifies, besides the mayim chayim el keli, it also says that you're supposed to be mekadesh the mayim, and it says over there, v'natan alav mayim. So you put the efer up, take the efer up, or v'natan alav mayim. So what we darshan is like this, that the water has to be put into the kli directly. That it says, then you have to take the efer apora and put it on top of the mayim. Why does it say, v'natana lav mayim? We learn v'natana lav mayim means that then you have to mix it. So you have to have water on top of the ash as well. Fine. But meanwhile, what do you see? That there is a mitzvah that you should actually put the efer onto the mayim. Now, it says over there in the Mishnah that suppose accidentally you had taken out the test tube and you were about to put some of that efer onto your hand in order to put it into the water, and it fell directly from the test tube before you had a chance to actually take it out, it fell onto the shoket. And the shoket is a clay even, such a trough. We're referring to the clay even because all of whatever we could do with the clay avonim, this is how Rashi understands it, Tosfos argues, but whatever we could do with clay avonim, we do with clay avonim. So the water was inside the clay even, and now we're going to put it on top of that, the ash. But over here, the ash fell, so I didn't really put it on. So it says over there that it's possible because you didn't do it. Okay, says Rabbi, but what does that imply? that if you would have let it fall directly out of the test tube, suppose you would have bent the test tube over and shaken it a little bit, and some of the ashes would have fallen out. So then it would have been kosher. How is that possible? Doesn't it say beferish that it has to be vilakhu mi'afar? It says that you need to take it. If you need to take it, so then how did you take it with the test tube? It says vilakhu latamei mi'afar srifat achatat vinatan. You didn't do that. And nonetheless, it says over here, you're kosher, says Rav. How are you going to explain that? El alav, shma amina lakicha, yidei davarach, shma lakicha. Now, come on. That is, you can't argue on that, right? Now, another issue that Rav had about the problem of chatzitzas would be the chatzitza between the various things that you have in your lulav. Now, what very often happens is that you keep your hadasim and your aravas inside of the little loops, the kaishalach that you made, right? You take out the lulav, you put the lulav in water overnight, and then in the morning, instead of making the whole thing over again, you just take your lulav and you poke it into the other two minim that are on each side. Everybody does that. So Rabbi says, don't do that. Don't push your lulav down into the Hoshana, because Dilma Natri Tarpe, what happens if leaves fall off from the Hadassim and the Aravas? And they get stuck between the lulav and the Hadassim or the Aravas. So then that would be a chatzitza. So now they won't be together. Now, the obvious question over here is that Rashi said the Feresh before that according to Rabbah, we don't need eget. So what does he care if you don't need eget? What does he care if you have a chatzitza? So apparently, they bring riots from here, that apparently Rashi must hold, like the Rabbeinu Hanano, which we spoke about earlier, which is that even if you don't hold of Eged, you still have to be holding all of the medium in your hand simultaneously. It's not like the sheet of the Tesis that you could pick up one minute, put it down, pick up the other minute, and so on, even if you don't hold Eged. But according to Rabbeinu Hanano, Rashi is saying over here, you got a problem anyway, even if you don't need Eged, because you still are going to have to be holding all the Arba Minim at one time. And you're not holding them all at one time, because you've got other stuff in between that's preventing the contact between the Minim. And therefore, since it would be a Chatzitza, so then it would be possible. Rava says it's not a problem. Min b'minu, eino chotzeitz. These leaves of Aravas and leaves of Adasim are the same mean as the Adasim. And as the Aravas, how would that be a chatzitza? That's not a problem. The Omar Rab, I'll tell you another problem. There's also something that people do without realizing. Sometimes you make your lulav, put everything together, and now you see that your lulav is like really much, much higher. So what you do is you pull the lulav down and you cut off the bottom of the lulav, so now you have a shorter lulav. But when you do that, you're leaving the leaves that were extending above the place where you cut, and now they're loose leaves because there's no longer attached to the shidra because you cut the shidra at the bottom. So now you've got all these loose leaves between the lulav and the other minim on either side. So that would cause the same problem because the bishtairi roots up. Since some of those long leaves of the lulav are going to remain in the Eged, or even not Eged, but whatever it is that you're going to be holding it, and they are a chatzitza between the Aravas and the Hadassim on either side of them. And here too, Rava says, min b'minai eino chotzeitz. There's not a problem of a chatzitza. The Omar Rabba, another thing that Rabba brought up was, you know, these are all of the Mamorim that are Rabba. First we had the Yonim of chatzitza, the Kichatama, now we get into other issues, practical issues that Rabba brings up about the dinim of the minim. The Omar Rabba, a hadas that was minyuchat for the mitzvah, you're not allowed to smell it on surface. Why? Because it's mukta. Masha Enkein, the etrog that you were using for your mitzvah, you are allowed to smell it. Mutter la riyarbo. Why would that be my timer? Because the main usage of a hadas that is other than the usage of its mitzvah for the lulav is for smell. So hadas, the lorecha koi, the mukta is chal on that use. And therefore, ki akze merecha akze. That was the main point of the setting it aside of the mukta. But an esrog, the main function of an esrog is for eating. And therefore, when you were makta it for mitzvah, so you were makta it from the achila aspect of it. So ki akze mi achila akze, but you did not be makta from smelling. So memela, the esrog, you would be allowed to smell. Now there's another big issue, halacha lemaisa, in terms of the smelling of the esrog, which is if something is not considered to be reach for recha, and it's indeed set aside for the mitzvah, can you make the birchas ha-reach ha-peres on it? Now that's a big shayla. And there's many that say that you cannot. So therefore, says the Mishnah Brura, it's better not to get into a suffix bracha to smell your esrog. But what you can do is you can smell another pri or another esrog that wasn't miyuchad for your lulav, and then you won't have a problem, because then you'll be yotze, the bracha of the birchas ha-peres, the reach ha-peres, you'll be yotze, and then there won't be any issue of muktzah because of the fact that it's not daktze from recha, and therefore everything would be okay. So turns out that there's actually a halacha lemaisa that's nogea this issue. Okay, there's also some other issues over here of which are nogea really bichlal on Shabbos, right? Which is the question of, are you allowed to be meiriach the mechubar? So something that is not a chashash, that you're going to be actual picking it. And this is the next question. If it's Shabbos and you want to smell a hadas, you're allowed to. But if you're walking along on Shabbos and there's beautiful smells coming from fruit, that is also lariach bo. So let's say you have an etzer or any other fruit, my time, hadas, which is fundamentally there, you're not interested in taking it off of the tree for any reason, it smells the same. So, isharitele, if you allow him to smell it on the tree, there's nothing that's going to draw him to actually cut it off of the tree, and lo ati lemigze. So there's no reason why it is a chashash that he's going to cut it off. Masha'enkin, etro de lachila koi, may forget for a moment, and isharitele, ati lemigze. If you allow him to smell it, so then he may actually come to pick it off because he gets turned on to eating it. So now he wants it. And therefore we are not makbid on the hadas, but we are makbid. This comes up all the time. Now it's interesting that halacha lemaisa, the minag, as the Rama brings, the minag has become to be makbid on Rabba's hakbaras over here. So that even though lemaisa, there's rava min adin, kolana oto, zakatzer biachatzitza, and so on. So there's still a machlokas about whether we paskin in that like rava. The minag has become, as the Rama brings, that you shouldn't take anything, you shouldn't have a chatzitza, which is where the Rama would be learning if something is on your hand, which would mean that there was became a minhag, says the Rama, to take off your tefillin. In other words, not mamshtek, but to take your tefillin off of your fingers. Or if you're wearing rings, to take off your rings. And that became the minhag. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman taines that nothing is considered to be, this was nogea, the women in his home that were wanted to be noitel lulav. So he told them they don't have to take off their rings. Because if lemaisa, only a small portion of the hand is covered, and the portion of the hand that remains is sufficient to hold the lulav, so then bichlal, what's the problem? It is a lakicha, and it's a lakicha tama, and it's also not considered to be a chatzitza because it's a miyut. You're still holding it directly with your hand. See, he was mekel. If most of your hand isn't covered by your tefillin. But lemaisa is very interesting to note that this is certainly an issue, and that therefore some of the things that people do need to be avoided. So taking an esrog in the same hand as the lulav is really just not supposed to do. It's supposed to be held specifically in different hands. And even though you're makarev them together, it's a beautiful story. The Beis Yosef says about a certain Ashkenazi lives by us, and he says that I saw that he was holding No, first he says, I had this weird dream. He says, I had this weird dream that he's writing the Shema Shem, Yudke Vovke, and that then he was marking the last hey of the Shem. He was marking it from the first three letters of the Shem. Thinking, how could he do something to be mafrid the Shem? So that morning, I went into shul, it was during circus, and I saw that when it came to the Danuim of the Hoshanas, he kept his Lulav and Esrog separate. So he didn't shake the Esrog together with the Lulav. So I realized that's what the dream meant, that in being mafrid, because since all of the minim are nogea, one chelik of the Shem Hashem, and that's the Medrash, kulam al shmo yishol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it goes through each pasuk, how each pasuk that gives the Shem of the Shem, of the min, is utilized elsewhere as a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaShras HaShchina. So I realized that the remez in my dream was that he was being mafrid between the Shem as the Isis and Hashem, and I was Mochiachim and so on. It's a very beautiful story in the Beis Yosef. Anyway, so that also is something, even though it's very inconvenient, because how do you hold your sitter if you don't put your Esrog together with your Lulav? Okay, so you have to hold it in the same hand maybe as the Lulav. Zalo Pashut, that's why they make these little portable, just tiny little books for the Hishanas. Okay. So introduces the next piece. Yomar Rabbah, Lulav should be held in Yamin, and Esrog should be held bismol. And they shouldn't be held together. My taima hanitlata mitzvah, v'anichor mitzvah. The Lulav is more chashuv because it has three chalakim of the mitzvah in it, so therefore it should be in your Yamin. Whereas the Esrog is only one, even though they all have the shame of the same mitzvah, nonetheless, it has these miles. There's actually a shita among the Rishonim that holds if you do it backwards, you're not yotzi, which is, you know, very strange, because I mean the Pashtus over here is that it's just odif because it has more to it. Fine. The same thing is true about, I mean, it doesn't say beferish not to hold it in the same hand, but the Mishnah Berurah brings from those who say that it's bedavka meant to be held in the other hand, it shouldn't be put together. Okay, in any event, a lot of issues people are simply not aware of the chashivas of those issues. There's also a big machlokas over here about what to do if you are a lefty. So that's a question, because according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you're a lefty, you are not supposed to flip, because the din of left and right over here is nogea the inyanim that are miuchadim about the getter of the lulav and the etzer. And so because of that, even if you're an Iter Yad, you should still do it. Okay, so that's a bit of a machlokas. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Lamaisa, the Rosh, Rabbi Yerucham, and others paskin that you take it as you know, and you need the opposite. And you're left, which is the Yamin Shokolona. And that's, since the Ramah paskins like this, this is what most people do against the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure how the Sfarim are Nayeg in this, actually, whether they actually do also. Because it's also brought that when you're in public, that then there's an Indian not to do it differently than everybody else, especially if you're like the Rav of the Shul or something, you shouldn't do it differently than others. Okay. Omalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zreik. How come when we make the bracha, we only say Al Netilat Lulav? What about the Esrog? So why don't we use the lulav as the mention of all of kolal, all of the minim? So Reb Zreika told him, the lulav is the tallest of all of the minim, which we took to mean, since we said before that the lulav sticks out above the hadasim and the aravas, because you need to have the extra tefach, kidei l'naneya. So that's the reason that it says it's gavoa. But if that's the case, so what I could do is I could take the esrog. The Esrog is in my other hand, and I could lift up the Esrog to be higher than the Lulav. So why can't I be Ligbe Esrog Belivrak? After all, the Esrog is the first thing that's mentioned, right? So it says pre-eight sadar. That's the first thing. Then it's Kapo Tamari. So why not take the pre-eight sadar first? And there's other in Yonim also we spoke about yesterday. The Ramazim of the Etrog, and so on. So why not do that? Says Rabbi Zreika, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean like when you're holding it, it's the tallest. I meant that the Tamar, which is the way that the Torah refers to the lulav, the Tamar, the tree, is the tallest of all of the meaning, because the Tamar goes way above the etrog tree, goes extremely high. Richie, mute thyself. Okay, so the Tamar is a tall tree. That's the chashivas. I wasn't referring to when you're holding it in your hands. But now we're going to need some of that background noise. So come on, Rich. Just tell him to be quiet for a minute.
That's why I unmuted in the first place.
I know.
Ready. Okay. There you go. Zuk the Halakha Mishnah.
Okay. We mentioned earlier, as the Gemara is going to clarify, that you need to keep a little bit of your lulav above, one tefach of the lulav above the other minim, so that there would be kedei lana ne'abo. So where exactly do these na'anuim, where did they take place? Ve'echan hayu mina'anim. Well, the last tehillah, which is the hodu la'ashem, it starts with hodu la'ashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo, and it ends with hodu la'ashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. So you do that hodu la'ashem tchila v'sof, both at the beginning and at the end. And since we repeat hodu la'ashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo after the Shliach Tzibur says the others, Yom Rinot Beit Aaron, Yom Rinot Yireh Hashem, it's also we say hodu la'ashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo, so the minhag is to do with all the times that we say hodu la'ashem. And ona Hashem Oshiana, which we say twice in the minhag, so we do it there too, divrei Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai Omrim, we also say it by Ona Hashem Hatzlichana, which is not our minhag. Omer Rabbi Akiva, Tzofeh Hayiti b'Rabbi Gamliel v'Rabbi Yeshua, I paid very close attention to the way that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua held their lulav and did their na'anuim during challah, and I saw that when everyone else was doing the na'anuim for Hodula, for Ona Hashem Hatzlichana, they didn't. Shekoam hayumin anim et lulavim, v'heim lo ni'anu'u ela b'Ona Hashem Hoshiana. So they would only do the Hoshiana. That is a beautiful remez to why exactly this is true. Because the marker we have in the Torah and Divrei Hayomim of the relationship of the Na'anuim, it says, Oz Yirananu Atzei Hayar Milifnei Hashem Ki Balish Pot Et Haaretz, Hodu La Hashem Ki Tov Yimru Hoshienu El Hayishenu Vekapsenu Min Agoyim, and so on and so forth. So that puts together the Yirananu Atzei Hayar, and it puts it together with Hodu La Hashem Ki Tov. So that is the mocker of that medrash that says, that which the Gemara is Meramis to some of it, that when Klal Yisrael and the rest of the world come in on Rosh Hashanah Ledin, we don't know who was found to be Zakai Bedin. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of Oz Yirananu Atzei Hayar, that we should be Mesameach on Sukkos with these minyan, to show that we were Menatzeach Bedin. And in that pasuk of Oz Yirananu Atzei Hayar, Milifnei Hashem Kibal Ishpot Et Haaretz, which is Nogea Rosh Hashanah, then it says, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasdo, V'imru Hoshienu Hashem Elokeinu, which is Ona Hashem Hoshiana. So that means that the Atzei Hayar goes together with Ona Hashem Hoshiana. Okay, so that's why he would do it B'dafka with Hoshiana, with Hoshiana. Mashenke Beit Shammai took the entire tefillah. Anyway, why did you ask Nianua, where do we do the Na'anuim? Whoever talked about Na'anuim? Nianua, Mandoch HaShmei, who mentioned Na'anuim? What do you mean, who mentioned Na'anuim? You lost track of the Mishnayos over here in our parak. It started with that you need Kol Lulav Sheyesh Bo Shlosha Tefachim plus Kedei L'Na'anea Bo Kasher, remember? So therefore, the Tana says, remember I told you that. So where, in fact, do you do these Na'anuim? Echen Menane'im. Tzanhat. Now, when it comes to the dinim, this is the Mishnah in Menachos that talks about the Shtei Alechem and how you do the tenufa of the Shtei Alechem. L'maisa, most learned that all tenufas are learned out from the same mocker, which is the Asher Hunaf and Asher Huram, as we're going to see, by the days of the Milui, which are the concepts. That's Kovea, the conceptual meaning of, because that's the Yimei HaChinuch of the Mishkan. So from there, we're going to figure out how it is that we do the Na'anuim of the Lulav as well. So when we have the Shtei Alechem, or the Shnei Kivsei Atzeret. So either we have to do a Nanua Tzeza on both of them, the equivalent of a Nanua, it's Tenufa. So it says that you need to do that for both the actual Kvasim and for the Lechem, which is like strange, because it's Marsha, we do it together. And it says you need to move them up, Enif HaKohen Otam, Al lechem abikurim to falif ne Hashem al shnei kvasim. So how do we do all of that at one time? So what we do is ketzad uosa. You take the shnei lechem al shnei kvasim. You put them on top of the shnei kvasim. Then you put your hands underneath the sheep, and you meinif them. How are you meinif them? Molich umevi. You move them out away from yourself and then back towards yourself. And your ma'aleh umorid, up and down. Shenemar asher hunaf v'asher huram, that which was waved and that which was raised up. So that is the definition of the tenufa.
The way Rebbe just read that would be removing the vav from umolich, right? Because it says he's meinif. How is that done? You have to remove the vav. Okay. Otherwise, meinif is one that is an action just like meiniyat. It's a separate action, and it's listing the number of actions.
I'm sorry, I'm not following. Say that again.
I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I'm sorry. It says.
Asher hunaf v'asher hura.
Right. It says
Rabbi Yochanan. No, what is the meaning of it? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Right before that, umeinif, umolich, umevi. That means it's one of a list of things to do. The way Rebbe just explained it was, how is Meiniv done? By Molich, Mevi, etc. That Vav between Molich and Mevi means that it's an additional action. Umeiniv, Umolich. Umeiniv, how is that done? Molich, Umevi. But it doesn't say that. It says Umeiniv, Umolich, which means each one is a separate action.
I'm sorry, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. The Torah says tnufa, right? We haven't gotten to Asher Unaf, Asher Huram. The Torah just was, we said, how do you do tnufa? Ketzed huose. So he says you do tnufa by being meiniv, right? Meiniach yodot tachteyem umeiniv. Now, I'm explaining to you, what does that include? Tnufa? Molech umevi mala umori.
Right, that's not what it says. It says umolich. Okay. I'm saying Rebbe's pshat removes the vav from molich.
No, it doesn't. That's the derech of the Gemara all the time to speak like this. Like you add the vav as you're talking. You're umeiniv. And how is that meiniv done? You go ahead and you're molich umevi malo umorid. In order to do that, it means you don't have to take out the vav. That's very common.
Okay.
Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Molech Umevi. What is the remez over here? You're Molech Umevi L'misha Arba Rucha Shalom. Malo Umori L'misha Shamayim V'Oretz Shalom. So what it is that you're doing is you want to show that you're doing all of this for the Kiyam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. So that means that the acts of Tenufa and Aroma is all in order to show your kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzivui. B'Ma'arava and Eretz Yisrael, they learned it differently. Matnohachi, Omar Rabbi Chama Barukva, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Molech umevi kidei latzor ruchot ra'ot, Ma'aleh umorid kidei latzor tlolim ra'im. So you go back and forth because the wind blows from different directions. You do this, you're going to do this in all four directions, as Rashi points out. So this is going to be actually otzer, any kind of wind that is bad, and will encourage the winds that are useful for agriculture. So in Eretz Yisrael, they were makbit to use these avedas, because this was at the time of the dinim. So this is the time of the din of the tefuah, or on Sukkot when we use the lulav, it's the time of the din on the mayim. So these are remazim to be make sure that there shouldn't be tlalim royim by being mala umorid, and to encourage the tlalim that are bruchim. So this is to show that this is bedavka in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael the peres are directly dependent on Yodei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that you should, it's not just that we're doing the mitzvah, l'shem Hashem, it's that we understand that all of our agriculture and all of our asik and everything that's growing and every fruit that we put into our mouth is part of that bracha that is coming from these tlolim and from these beautiful ruchas and so on and so forth. There's also remazim. The remazim that the Bala Kabbalah brings, there's this beautiful remazim that the Reb Tzadik brings, that the getter of tlolim. So Rucha is, first of all, is always a question of, like, your thoughts, right? Your inner desires. You know, La'asot kol asher b'rucho. That means whatever, like, your innermost desires are. And Tzolalim, we find by a lashon of Tizal Ketal Imrati. So those are the things that you think about and that you speak about. And therefore, these are also the dafka that there should be. A person should be asking, even though he thinks the same way the Paris of Eretz Yisrael, a person thinks that his thoughts are his own thoughts, and that his chidushim are his own chidushim, and that his desires are. But the truth is that those are also need the brocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you want to be oker the ritzenes that are evil. So that's the malo mori, and you want to. I mean, that's the back and forth movement, Melech Umevi. And then you want to be zeiche to the tal min hashamayim that gives you the insights that you have, tizal ketalim rasi, that those should be untainted by deus chitzenies, they should be kulay kadosh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is just a very beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay, Omer Reb Yosi Bar Avin, V'itemer Reb Yosi Bar Zvila, you see an amazing thing from here. Because the tnufa is not an act of the mitzvah. The tnufa is a thing you're supposed to do. And yet, this is shiore mitzvah are enough to like save you from all of these puranut, you know? So you see from here that shiore mitzvah are ma'akim as a puranut. Shiore tnufa is just shiore mitzvah. It's not ma'akim the kapara. And nonetheless, it's otzeret ruchot utlalim ra'im. The omar rava v'chein b'lulav. So these non-hagas that we do for tnufa is the same way that we do for the lulav. Now, there's a bit of a question whether the moloch is umevi is one or the moloch umevi is two. So that the Gemara discusses there too. So we're makbid, the minig has become to count each back and forth movement as one. Not that back and forth should be counted separately. And then there was, since this is a remez to show that we're zeiche bedin on Rosh Hashanah, so Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mamtilei Umaytilei, he would take the lulav, push it back and forth, sort of aiming it like a little bit of a sword, and he would say, "Here's arrows into the eyes of the sultan. Ha ha ha! We won." Don't do that, says the Gemara. Lav Milti, very bad idea. You don't want to get the sultan to focus. Oh, you won, did you? Let's see. Who won? So if you notice any sulfurous odors when you do that, it's better to take your lulav somewhere else. Anyway, lav milti mishum da'ati ligiruyeve, you're liable to get the sultan to be committed to seeing, to showing you that you didn't win, and that's a very dangerous thing to do. So whatever remuzim you feel are there, keep them to yourself. Speak not to me.